Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This might be, aside from Pascha itself, my favorite Sunday of the entire Paschal season. And the reason for that is because if we think about what happened immediately after the crucifixion, how quick that all went by. We think of, you know, Holy Thursday, Holy Friday, Holy Saturday, and then Pascha itself. And those days just seem to fly by. They sort of run into one another. They're going by so quickly. But imagine what it was like back then for those who witnessed all of these things. The apostles, of course, fled. They took off, except for St. John the theologian. They all took off. They were in hiding. They didn't know what to make of anything. The Lord, despite being very clear with them in so many ways and the things that he was telling them, despite that, they did not understand everything that was going on during that time. However, there were a number of people that did. And these people are celebrated today. They are, of course, the holy, mirror-bearing women. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Cleopas, Susanna, Joanna, Salome, Mary and Martha of Bethany, and of course the most holy Theotokos herself, were the ones who went to the tomb, as it says, very early in the morning. Now we have to understand certain things about this because all four Gospels give accounts of this incident and all seem to do it from different vantage points. So it can get rather confusing. And of course, these women that I just mentioned, they were not the only myrrh-bearing women, but the only ones that the gospel writers have seen to include here. Because we know that most of these women were fairly well off and that they supported the Lord in his ministry while he was walking on earth among us. So this is something very, very important to keep in mind, what they were doing and when they were doing it. Most likely, the Lord himself rose sometime in the evening between 9 and 11 o'clock. Because, of course, that was into the eighth day, into the day of Pascha itself. This was something that many of the patristic fathers talked about and agreed upon. And yet these women came while it was yet still dark. And they went to the tomb. And, of course, for a certain group that was there, most likely it was at first the Mother of God along with Mary Magdalene, who then turned when she saw the tomb was open and went to tell the disciples, yet the Mother of God was still there to greet our Lord, the first one to greet him. And that's not actually in the Gospels, but how do we know this? Well, St. Gregory of Palamas says, can you for a moment imagine that this mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, who saw what happened, was at the foot of the cross, helped take him down from the cross, would have just dismissed everything after that and gone away somewhere to visit relatives or something? Of course not. She was the courageous one who was there. She was the one who was first there. And in fact, the hymn that we sing for the Theotokion after the consecration, the Holy Eucharist, all through Pascha, what is it? The angel cried to the lady full of grace, rejoice, O pure virgin. Again, I say rejoice. Thy son is risen from his 3 days in the tomb. And all of the services emphasize this fact that she was the first one. And one of the other things that's interesting about this story is the fact that because it was still dark, yet they could see clearly into the tomb. Now, how was that? Well, it all ties together, my brothers and sisters, because the light of the resurrection was still illumining that tomb. And in fact, that is the same light of the resurrection that we see at the beginning of the holy fire every year before Pascha. That same light was illuminating the way for those myrrh-bearing women to make their way to the tomb. And some other questions yet still come up about this story. Why, when Mary Magdalene greeted the Lord, does he say, don't touch me, for I've yet to ascend to my Father who is in heaven? People have wondered about this. Why did he somehow prevent her from doing this? But the answer is fairly simple, actually. Because Mary, like Peter, because you remember Peter, it says, went into the tomb first, although John beat him to it, and he looked in and he wondered at what had happened. He was confused. Why would he be confused? Well, because he had just denied the Lord three times. He was not in the best of spiritual states at that point, and he didn't know what was going on, but St. John the theologian most certainly did. Mary Magdalene, however, was also confused about what was happening because she didn't recognize the Lord until he said her name in a very familiar way that she no doubt heard many times when he said, Mary, and she knew. But yet, what did she had she said earlier to when she in her conversation with the angels? They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Referring, therefore, to the fact that she still did not understand who Jesus Christ was at that point and what was going to happen. Because when Thomas greeted him, like we found out last week, what was it? My Lord and my God. But Mary Magdalene was not there yet. And so the Lord, seeing the state that she was in, says, touch me not. When others, in fact, we know, especially the Mother of God, actually grasped his feet in one of the other passages. Now, I could go on forever and ever about this particular story, but it gets very, very complex because of the number of women and the different trips that they made to the tomb and when were they were together and when they split up and went separate ways. It can get very confusing to all of us. And so that is why at the Orthros Gospel today, we read the account from the Gospel of Luke. We just heard the account from the Gospel of Mark, but yet John goes into great detail and Matthew goes into great detail. So this was a very, very important event in the life of the church. Very, very important. And we can't take this for granted very easily, like it's so often wrapped into, well, you know, sort of a happy Easter story, right? The women went to the tomb and the Lord was gone, et cetera, et cetera. It's much more profound than that. It's much more complex than that. These people were being hunted. Okay? They were being hunted. The authorities knew who all of them were. But yet the women bravely go forth in the dark of night in that area because several of them had seen where the Lord had been laid. But yet they didn't care about any of this. They went fearlessly. They were afraid, yet they rejoiced when they heard the good news. And where was the Lord laid? Of course, the other commemorations that we have today at the same time. The pious Joseph of Arimathea, who again is mentioned, but only in one gospel that we hear that he was a counselor, a member of a council somehow. We don't know which one. We know he was Jewish, and Arimathea was a Jewish town. But yet he was a rich man, and he gave the tomb, his tomb, actually, a new tomb, it says, for the Lord to be buried in. All of these people that we hear about, most of them anyway, except for maybe two, have separate feast days during the year. We know, for instance, that Joanna was one of the people that was in the household of King Herod. We know this. We know Joseph of Arimathea most likely went to England. Mary and Martha, it is said in many accounts, actually reached the coast of France. At least that's what the French say, but the French think everyone reached the coast of France, including Mary Magdalene, which she may have done because they traveled a lot. They became evangelists. The one who does not have a separate feast day, righteous Nicodemus, we know that he was there because he was a Pharisee. And yet he came, and what did he bring? 100 pounds of myrrh. 100 pounds. Now think about that. I mean, how was he doing that? He probably didn't have a wagon he could pull the thing in. But that's another astounding thing. We don't think much about this story because we know that Joseph of Arimathea took down the Lord's body, that Nicodemus came and he brought all of these spices to help anoint the Lord with. In the midst of all this that was going on, the Lord had just been crucified. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He had all his brethren that were most likely watching him at this point, seeing the things that he was doing. Joseph, who was a wealthy Jew, went and begged the body of Jesus from Pilate. And then the myrrh-bearing women come along in the midst of the night, and they go to the tomb, and they're the first to see that the Lord is risen. The first it was announced to that the Lord was risen. All these different things happening at about the same time. And you know, even the fathers of the church talk about how Eve, who because of her disobedience brought down so much grief upon mankind, they say that as a woman brought grief upon all mankind, so a group of women reverse the curse of Eve and change everything. That she who closed the road to paradise is now set aside for those who opened the road to paradise because of what they saw that day. So it's a wonderful, wonderful day. It is a day of resurrection. Again, like I point out so often, the icon right here doesn't say the myrrh-bearing women at the top in Greek. It says anastasis, resurrection, because this is the real rising from the tomb. Sometimes we see icons, sometimes we see pictures. I know I've talked about this before too, of Jesus coming out of the tomb holding a flag. Where did he get the flag? You know, coming out of the radiant tomb, and we don't know anything about that. That is not the resurrection. The resurrection happened early in the evening and was not seen by anyone. And so the testimony that we have is this right here of the myrrh-bearing women and the grave clothes set aside and laid in the tomb. This was the testimony of the resurrection. This is why it is so thrilling, really, for me to talk about these women, because they are an incredible, incredible bunch of people. Mary Magdalene, for instance, would go on to preach before Tiberius Caesar. We all know the story of the egg, right? The red egg. When Mary Magdalene talks about Christ risen from the dead and Tiberius says, you know, that'll happen when an egg turns red. And so Mary Magdalene, well, here we go. It turned red. This is the proof. These women went on boldly in many instances to proclaim Christ, as did all the disciples eventually. But the disciples, they had to wait. They were the chosen ones. They were the foundation of the church. But yet they were not there when these women were. They had to wait until the Lord appeared among them and gave them the Holy Spirit when he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." That's when the apostles began to understand what had actually happened and what the Lord had actually done. And when it all started to come together for them, all the things they had heard, all the things that they had seen, that were somehow disparate to them. They would see certain things, and then later on we read that they seemed to be completely in the dark as to what it meant. This happened over and over and over again, but yet when the Lord appeared to him, all things came together. And for these women, though, these women never lost faith in their Lord. They never lost that hope in the Lord. They were all waiting for the Lord, trying to anoint him for burial, maybe not understanding what he was going to do. But then when he appeared to them and let them know, what did he say? "Don't say anything to anybody. I'm going to see the apostles in a few hours." No. "Go tell the disciples and Peter. Go and tell them." And of course, they did this. What did the apostles do? Say what? Are you kidding me? Are you out of your mind? What you've been smoking? You know, that was their reaction. But the women knew. The women all knew. And that's why we consider them so highly, with this day dedicated to all of them in their actions and the activities that they did, which announced the resurrection to the world. The same announcement that we give to the world today. Amen. Christ is risen.